I'd like you to please remain standing. Okay. Praise the Lord. Glad you're all standing. Why are we standing? Because we're going to make some proclamations. Amen. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am seated with Christ in heavenly places.
I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am complete in Christ.
I am complete in Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am bold.
I am bold.
I use the name of Jesus.
I use the name of Jesus.
I am a super conqueror.
I'm a super conqueror.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you believe it because I do.
Because I do.
Amen. Amen.
Because I do.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. In order to serve the body of Christ, even as that last song was talking about, we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And we need to know the power and the authority that we have in Him. Amen. Amen. You know, every morning in my household, there's this ritual that we go through. And my dad comes out, and he goes to his big chair, and he sits down, and he kind of lounges it back so that his feet are out. And his son, myself, I come in front of him, and I bow down, and I get down on my knees in front of him. This is true. This is true. I'm not exaggerating. Right, Penny? Is this true? Yes. Okay. I come, and I bow down, and I get on my knees before him. And then I take his shoe off, and I put his, we have this thing, we call it a boot. It's a thing that goes on his foot, and it helps to support his ankle. So every morning, I do that. And this morning, as I always do, I bowed before him, and I started lacing up the shoe. And I got to the top, and it was wrong. I thought, what did I do? And so I was tracing my lacing back down. And there it was, the very first one I missed. See, if we miss the foundation, if we miss the beginning, then we end up at the end being wrong. And then we have to start all over or whatever might be necessary. So it's important that we are starting out right. And for my dad and I, starting out right is that bowing before him every morning. And sometimes he likes to joke with his friends about it and say, my son comes and bows before me every morning. We do in reality, though, need to bow before somebody every morning. Before our King. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For his blessing, but also for us being his child and his servant. What is it that you want me to do today? And part of that, coming to him in that kind of attitude, really is a matter of the heart. Where is our heart? So we want to talk today again about matters of the heart, the making of a whole heart. We want to have a whole heart. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not with part of it, not with a piece of it, but with all your heart. And that gives us some implications and some things. For one thing, that means that if he has all of our heart, then that means that some of our heart can't be in other places. You know, I understand, and I don't track this, I just happened to ask somebody about it yesterday because they mentioned it, but I did not realize that the Dodgers were doing so well this year. Now, some people follow that meticulously. And they look at that and their heart is divided. It's into other things. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't watch the Dodgers or follow them. But the idea is we need to have a whole heart. We need to love Him with all of our heart, not having a divided heart, not having other loyalties. He should be our first loyalty. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then other places where that's found, Mark and Luke in particular say, and with all your strength, with all our body. Now, part of loving the Lord, which Jesus told us in John 14:21, is that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will be obedient to me. Now, I want to take a look at some scriptures that kind of give us a good contrast of what a divided heart looks like. Because, see, a lot of times we don't realize that our heart is divided into other things. We think we have a whole heart towards God, but in reality, there are things that pull us away. And so I want us to look at a scripture that talks about that today to begin our discussion on the making of a whole heart. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. This is the letter of Jesus to the church at Laodicea. Starting in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So who is it that is speaking here? Who is it that is addressing this church? Who is it? Jesus, yes. Jesus is the one that's addressing this church. So we're not just talking about Paul like he has in his letters and making some comments to the church. We're talking about Jesus talking to this church. So if I were you, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Verse 15, I know thy works. So in other words, Jesus is looking here at this church and he sees their works. He sees the things that they are doing. He sees what's going on in their lives by the things that they are doing. How they are doing the word. How they are doing the ministry. How they are doing things. That thou art neither cold nor hot. I wert that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So we're talking here about the things that they were doing, right? Let's go on to verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. So this is what they are saying. In other words, this is the attitude of their heart. This is what's going on. They think that they've arrived. They are rich. Now, who knows what they were like when they first came to Christ, but they learned how to trust God for finances and God enriched them. So now they're saying, we're rich. We've got all that we need. Now, I don't know about you, but this reminds me of a story in Luke chapter 12, where the man had planted his fields and he had a tremendously productive crop that year. And he says, you know what? I've got so much, I don't have room in my barns to hold it. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build new and bigger barns so I can store all my goods. And then I'm going to say to myself, soul, you are fat. You are sassy. You've got all you need to last the rest of your life. Eat, drink, and be merry. And what was the comment from the Lord to him? You fool. You fool, this night your soul is required of you. So these people had come to that point. They thought, wow, we got it made. Look how God is blessing us. But in the blessing that was going on in their lives, what had happened? They had let the doing of the word slip. They were now doing things just to do them. They were lukewarm in their attitude. In other words, they were not serving God with a whole heart. Let's go on in verse 17. So they've increased in goods, they have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. In other words, they thought they were doing good because they had riches, they had goods, which meant that they probably had some fine clothes. They thought they were doing good. They were happy, contented. But look what happened. In reality, they didn't realize what had happened in their heart, that they were now wretched and miserable and poor and blind. They weren't seeing what was going on around them, and they were naked. They were left exposed. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried by the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou may see. So what he's saying is, you're really missing it, guys. The important thing is not the clothes. The important thing is not the riches and how God has blessed you. The important thing is to be doing the works of God. The important thing is to seek after the true riches, the true gold, the true things. And he's saying, buy from me gold. If you would treat the things of God the same way that the buyer of goodly pearls in Jesus' parable went out and he found the good one, the best one, and he sold all that he had to acquire it. Buy from the Lord. It's without money. It's without cost. The only thing it costs is a little ardent zeal and intense effort. To some of us, that becomes a big cost. But I tell you what, it's worth it. It is worth it. Buy from me gold tried by the fire, that thou may be rich, rich in the things of God. Now, at the end of the parable that I quoted in Luke 12, he summed it up with this. He said, look for the true riches of God. So this guy had put up all these barns and was fat and sassy and going to be content the rest of his life. But the idea was seek the true riches. In other words, we're seeing here hearts that are divided, not wholly set on God. He said to buy from him gold, the true riches, and white raiment. We know from several other scriptures that the white raiment is talking about the righteousness of the saints. Seek righteousness. Seek holiness. Seek to be in that place where the kingdom of God is around you, because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. It's that place of not wanting sin, not wanting evil in our lives. Seek white raiment to cover thy nakedness, because the righteousness of God helps to protect us from the onslaught of the evil one. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve. In other words, be ones that look for the things of God. Don't just see what you see, but look for God. That your eyes would be opened and not blinded, that you'd be able to see what God has said. That's why he kept saying throughout the scripture, 15 times it says in the scripture, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He that has an ear, don't be ones that are blind to the things of God. See, I know I'm kind of confusing things here between eyes and ears, but you know what I mean, right? Have ears to hear. Have eyes that see beyond just what is obvious. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. What is he saying here? He's saying, I want you to have the good works that come out of a good heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, he said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the goodness of his heart, there cometh forth good. But an evil man, out of the evil in his heart, cometh forth evil. So he's saying here, I want you to have a full and undivided heart. I love you enough that I'm willing to chasten you, to correct you, to rebuke you, so that you will seek after me with a whole heart. Be zealous, therefore. We started out with looking at works that were neither hot nor cold. Now he's saying, be zealous. Now, it's interesting because one of the synonyms or words that come out of zealousness and jealousy is what? Hot. Be hot. Be hot for God. Be zealous for him. Have a heat. Have an intensity when it comes to the things of God. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Turn around. Turn around. Now, here's what's interesting. Verse 20. In this discussion here, in this letter, as Jesus is chastising and rebuking this church, he then ends with this appeal. He's saying, if you'll come to me and buy that gold, if you'll come to me and buy that white raiment, come to me and buy the eye salve for your eyes, if you will come to me, then look what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. In other words, those of you who have a heart that is not wholly set on God, he's inviting you, come. Behold, I'm standing at the door and knock. You know, and when you open the door, he opens up his coat, and there it is, the gold that he offers, the white raiment. You know, like a salesman, you know, I got it right here, right? So he's got the kit that he's coming to your door to show you what he has for you. Behold, I stand at the door, knock. If you'll open the door, I'm right there. I'm going to come in. I will have my wares. I will have the gold and raiment that you need. I will sup with you. I will commune with you. I will give you everything that you need. And then in verse 22, he ends it with this. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The making of a whole heart. So you see here what a divided heart could look like. And sometimes we get complacent with the things that God has done for us, with the blessings that he has brought into our life, and we stop doing the works. We stop doing them with the zealousness that he is looking for. And we need to understand that and repent and turn and seek wholly for him. In Psalm 86, verse 11, the psalmist here, David, says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. In other words, bring my heart together. Unite the pieces of my heart. Bring them together so that I can obey you. Teach me thy way, and I will walk in it. That needs to be our attitude, that our heart is united, wholly set on him, completely set on him, to fear his name. In other words, to have such reverence towards him that we will be obedient, that we will do as he teaches us, then we will do it. Reminds me of the attitude of James 1:21. He says to put aside the sin in our lives, the superfluity of naughtiness. Put that aside. And receive with meekness, with humility. See, when we come to the Lord and say, Lord, teach me, what we're really saying is, Lord, I'm humbling myself before you. I am bowing before you. Teach me. We are receiving with meekness because we realize that he is the one that needs to instruct us. He is the one. We don't know. See, we think we're doing good, but don't realize that we need the true riches in our lives. So we come to him and we receive with meekness the engrafted word. And it really does come back to the word, to the word of God. Because as we are humble before the word of God, as we are meek towards the word of God, as our hearts are wholly set on him and obeying his word, then we will take what the word of God says and be obedient to it. In Psalm 139, verse 23, David says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God. Is that the cry of our heart? Lord, I want to know you. I want you to search me, to try me, to show me what's in me. You know, that's an interesting test. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 3, when he says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It says, he did not come to this world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. And then he goes on to say that those that walk in darkness, they don't like the light. But those that love the light will come to the light. And so as God is searching us, we have a choice to make. As he is shining his light, do we shy away from the light and say, oh, I really don't want to know? Or do we come to the light and say, God, search me. Search my heart. Search my ways. Search my heart so that I can be wholly committed to you. Another aspect of this search my heart, O God, is the affirmation that we use from Psalm 19, verse 14. In the name of Jesus, and this is the affirmation that we often use, in the name of Jesus, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. Psalm 19, 14. It's an important verse, an important word of God for us to affirm, that he would make the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts acceptable to him. Another way of looking at this from the, also from the Psalms, Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, this comes after a sin in David's life. After he committed adultery and then had the husband killed. And he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, who told him a story. And when it became evident that it was him, David got all upset at the story. He says, "Who is this man? We're going to go after him." And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." So this psalm, Psalm 51, is the response to that contriteness of David's heart. And he says in verse 7, for example, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." Hyssop was a plant, a bush, that they used to, they would cut off a branch of that bush, and it was apparently very hardy, did not easily come apart, and they would use it to scrub things. So like when they were scrubbing their pottery or their pots or their bowls or whatever they were using in those days, they would use the hyssop plant as a scrubber, kind of like we would use our, you know, little plastic scrubbers and stuff that we use now on our dishes, or a brush or something like that. It was used like that. And so when he's saying here, "Purge me with hyssop," what he's saying is, "Wash me clean. Do whatever you got to do. Wash me clean." He wanted to be clean. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." And of course, he's not talking about real bones that were actually broken. He's talking about what it felt like that the sin just caused an initiation in his life, in his soul. Verse 9, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And then in verse 17, he goes on and he says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart thou wilt not despise." So there needs to be an attitude of, "Father, I know that my heart is not as whole as it should be. So search me. Create in me a clean heart. Search my heart. Search my thoughts. I want to come to the light and let you show me the iniquities in my heart, the things that are not set on you." And as we do that, here is his promise. In Psalm 147, verse 30, he says that God heals the brokenhearted. God heals those whose hearts are not wholly set upon him. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, which Jesus quotes in Luke 4:18, we'll look at that in a minute, he says that the Messiah, this is Isaiah speaking, that the Messiah would be anointed to bind up the brokenhearted. To bind up the brokenhearted. That gives me a picture of a heart that is divided, and then it is bound up, put back together. In Luke, Jesus says that it is to heal the brokenhearted. The binding up is like the putting together, like a surgeon or a doctor wrapping a bandage or something around it to bring it back together so that it can be healed and made whole. So Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to bring our hearts together, to search and to seek after him wholly. And his anointing is what does that. As we spend time in his anointing, seeking him, asking him to search us, and as things are brought up, as things are brought to light in our lives, then he is the one that is right there with his anointing, with his power, with his Holy Spirit, with his love. See, he's come, right? With all the gold. He's come with the raiment, everything that we need to be put back together, to be made whole and complete in him. In Proverbs 3:5, it tells us to trust God with all your heart, with your whole heart, that when we come to Him, we are able to put the full weight of our being on Him, the full weight of our personality, trusting Him that He will support us and hold us and deliver us. And so as we come to Him seeking that whole and clean heart, He will do it. And we trust Him. We put the full weight of our being on Him. In the Scriptures, there are 12 places that use the term whole heart. And what I found really interesting as I was looking at those is that 6 of those are found in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a psalm about the Word of God. And I don't know, I didn't count them up, but he uses all kinds of different words to refer back to the Word of God. The law, the precepts, statutes, commandments, ways. I don't know, we'll probably see some more as we read some of these verses here. But all these are talking about God's Word. And in Psalm 119, I want to look at some of those verses that talk about the heart. Let's start with verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. There's another one. See, I didn't mention that one. That keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that the transformation in our lives begins with the renewing of our mind. And of course, that's after the Word of God or from the Word of God. And as we then act on and do the Word that our mind is being renewed toward, it then gets into our heart and changes our heart. So that's why in this particular scripture, in Psalm 119, when he talks about seeking God with a whole heart, he's talking both about the way that we seek God, but also about the result of seeking God and His Word, is that it results in a whole heart, a heart that is set wholly on Him. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart. Verse 10, I'm going to actually start in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. So he's entreating the Lord. He's saying, with my whole heart I have sought thee. And we see that it is the one that wants to cleanse his way. We were talking earlier about, Lord, cleanse my heart, search me, and see if there be any wicked way or hurtful way in me. He's saying here, wherewithal, how shall a young man have his way pure? By taking heed. In other words, hearing and doing, by taking heed unto according to thy word. And then we read verse 10. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee? That's one of the keys for us in having a whole heart, is to hide his word in our heart. Hide his word in our heart, that we might not sin against thee. Verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. With a heart that is whole, but notice the emotion that's behind it. With my whole heart, with that fervency, with that zealousness, willing to give the ardent zeal and intense effort, intense exertion that is necessary to keep, to observe the law. Verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. be merciful unto me according to thy word. So he's calling out to God with his whole heart. Verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. So no matter what the circumstances look like around me, we don't deviate from the word of God in order to deal with the circumstances. We need to stay on the word of God, and the word of God and us acting on the word of God will overcome the circumstances. So even though people might be against you, even though circumstances might be rising up against you, we need to keep the precepts, keep obeying the Lord, keep doing the word with a whole heart. Verse 145 says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O God, I will keep thy statutes. So he cried out with his whole heart, his whole heart. And then one of the phrases that's repeated over and over again in the Psalms about the whole heart is that we praise him with our whole heart. You know, when you're dealing with somebody or talking to somebody and you come up to them and you say, you know, you're a really nice person. I like you, you know. You're good. I mean, that is kind of like a half-hearted compliment, right? And so when we praise God with that kind of attitude, that's not going to be pleasing to him. He wants us to praise him with a whole heart, to lift up our whole heart, our whole being. Let all that is within me bless his holy name, right? So in Psalm 9, verse 1, he says, I praise the Lord with my whole heart. In Psalm 111, verse 1, he says, I praise the Lord with my whole heart. And in Psalm 138, verse 1, he says, I praise the Lord with my whole heart. See, as our hearts get whole and we begin to see all the various things that God is doing in us and through us, I mean, why praise him with anything less than our whole heart because of what he has done for us? So why don't we stand right now? Let's just praise and worship God. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Father. We praise you with our whole heart. We praise you with everything that we have. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen. You know what? And as we bless the Lord, as we worship him, as we praise him, it stills the avenger in our life. Amen. According to Psalm 8:2. So we want to praise the Lord with a whole heart. So let the Lord search your heart. See if there be any wicked way. Come to him, desiring to be set free. Create in me a clean heart, O God, a pure heart, one that is wholly set on him. And then as he is doing that in our life, it will create a life of praise in us as we praise the Lord with our whole heart. Amen. Amen.